Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, come on. Yeah. Come on.
There you go.
Represent your side like me. Round here, if you stick, you catch a hot one. Try shark on a couple of them down ones. Belvedere in the rear of the club, pulled up on dubs, and we about to go and buy the bar up. So strong, for sure we ain't playing. Hang with no lames, walk insane.
Hey, where the party at?
The
girls is on the way, but up a car. Yeah,
where the party at?
Bottles and models, talking all of that.
Asking where the party at, it's right here. Man, boys night out. Boys night out. That's what it is. What's up? What's up? How y'all doing?
Boys night out. We are wonderful.
Man, it's beautiful out here. Finally getting out,
Amen to that. Amen to that. Midwest Smoking Singles Podcast, we are back. It is 4/1/2021. We got a fantastic show tonight. We're going to be talking about, we have got some fantastic pie crust recipes that we're going to be reading off and going over that, because we got, I mean, we've been scouring the internet all afternoon long. So we got an hour full of just bringing down the recipes, getting that crust kind of butter, kind of flaky. But before we get to that, we're going to do our intros as usual. The first one, my right hand, the boom shakalaka. David, go ahead.
What's happening, everybody? This is David, a.k.a. Boom. Looking forward to interacting with you guys tonight. We have a great show for you, so stay tuned.
All right, all right. And then we have a guest speaker tonight. So outside of myself and Boom, we have Theo Wilson, motivational speaker, who is coming in as a guest. Theo, please introduce yourself to Midwest Mocha and everybody out there listening.
Listen, man, it's a beautiful thing to be on this podcast, bro. Boys Night Out, I just need to have one of those, man. Me and the homies just need to kick it, you know what I mean? And being able to contribute my perspectives, other brothers who understand how to deal with these topics, because, you know, we're going to get into these topics today, but from a man's point of view, from a black man's point of view, from somebody who, you know what I'm saying, is coming from the past, trying to do better than the past and be defined by the actions I take now, it's one of those things that I think a lot of people could benefit from. So I'm really, really happy to be here sharing the space with y'all, for real.
Appreciate it. Thank you. So before we get started, number one, yes, that was an April Fool's joke. We are not going to be breaking down pie crust and buttery crust and going over that. Now that one we ain't going to do. But it is April 1st, so we thought we'd throw a little bit of fun out there. We're going to have some fun tonight. You know, like I said, we got some good topics, some deep topics I think are serious. Before we start, we do have a quick PSA. There was a rumor, I guess you could say, going back a couple weeks ago about the Mocha groups and when we were letting members in, that we were doing criminal background checks on members. That is incorrect. We do background checks on the profiles to make sure that the members and the pages are for real. We don't want any, you know, scammers or nothing like that in the group. So that is the background check. It is not a criminal background check. Please don't worry about that.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and get started right now. So the first topic we have is kind of a deep one. Why do we cheat? And not just – we're going to scratch below the surface. So we're going to go ahead and kick it off. Theo, go ahead and give your breakdown about cheating, why we do it, so forth.
You know what I think it is, brother? I think what's happening with us is that the very paradigm of monogamy is being questioned. Some would say it's under attack. But there are other monogamous species. You know, I've been looking at nature to find my answer sometime. And they don't struggle. I notice that. You know what I'm saying? Humpback whales don't struggle to stay together, and penguins don't struggle to stay together. They don't struggle with temptation. It's built into who they are, right down to their instincts, right? So the fact that we grapple with these things means that it's trying to tell us something. And we have to figure out the message. As you know, Derrick Jackson and all the things that's been going on with this man have been not only the subject of conversation, but, oh, man, the Internet, what, the Internet savage, ain't it, man? Like, the Internet don't play. They got this dude from every angle, every corner. Really? And the reason why we care, and the reason why we care is because for many women, he was the standard bearer in their eyes. Derrick Jackson was the man, right. Mr. Perfect, if you will, right? So, like,
right.
And with that perfection, right, and his image of perfection, when it crumbles, we have to ask questions, right? Why do we cheat? Because if he did it, it seemed like everybody going to do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like if Derrick Jackson right. can't keep it together, ain't nobody got no hope. But what I think it really is the fact that the human heart and our sexual nature evolved in a place where we can love and make love to more than one person. And we're trying to navigate that with what monogamy says of us, right? Because people are like, it's men, and men are cultivated toxic masculinity and all this other stuff. And it comes to, you know what I'm saying, a female objectification. And that plays a part in it, too. And then you remember right. that Jada had her own issue with her entanglements, right?
Yes, she did.
So that red table discussion was also a major thing. And so we all know that women are unfaithful too. And if women wasn't unfaithful, you wouldn't have no need for shows like Maury Povich and them trying to figure out who the daddy is. Won't be no paternity court, won't be no DNA test, won't be nothing. We know women are unfaithful, bro. So much that you can make TV right. shows about female infidelity and the consequences thereof. So let's examine monogamy. Let's take a hard look at what it's trying to tell us. My personal opinion is that yes. monogamy is a recent development in human history. It's a recent development, and the truth be told, from my research, it was actually meant to control women. Men ain't been expected to be monogamous except for the last 60 years. Now, come on here, somebody. Everybody knows, right, that Paw and them had sides. We understand that there used to be, even in British society, you had your wife and you had your mistress. Side chicks is as old as time immemorial. You had prostitutes and you had courtesans. Almost every biblical patriarch was a polygamist. So we have to take a look at what this expectation is. It wasn't until really modern-day second-wave feminism where you have men expected to be faithful. This is only 60, 70 years old tops, right? So we're struggling, and we're losing everything, and families are breaking up, hearts are being destroyed, and the question is, does it have to be this destructive? That's the question I think we need to examine.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, what you got, Boom?
I don't know. I don't know if I can follow that one.
I just want to open it up, baby.
I'm just kidding. You know, why do we cheat? You know, it can be a myriad of things. It can be, a myriad of things. And I'm just going to use myself as an example. And, you know, I did stray once, only out of revenge. But at the end of the day, once that happened, I still felt worse than before. But there's been other people that, they're just vulnerable. You know, women make it easier for us to cheat because it's, you know, I'm trying to look for the right word to say it. It's just, it's a lot easier nowadays because a lot of people are not looking for relationships per se. They're looking for the side piece, the side guy, the side woman. This day and age, it's a lot easier as opposed to back in the days when we were kids and our parents, you know, were out and about. So it's a whole lot of reasons why men cheat, but I think the most part of it is ego. We like to see what we can get away with. We want our ego stroked. So if we can have more than one woman, I mean, it's kind of like a badge of honor to a degree, especially when you talk about your boys and you're saying, okay, you know, I had this chick the other night, but yet my wife don't know anything about it, you know, that kind of stuff. It's a badge of honor to a degree for some men.
Right on. Man, now I got to try to follow both of them. Y'all going to try to put me in a position to try to follow both of them just to take
you. Nah, you good, bro.
I'm going to have to give you something to drink while I'm doing this one right here. But, so, you know, yeah, and a lot of times when we do these, you know, I'll have something prepared to say, and then I'll hear, you know, somebody, you know, one of your brothers say something. I'm like, man, not going to, I think, a little bit what I had prepared. But it's fair because, you know, you're always supposed to keep your mind open to what you're hearing. That should go before what you're saying. So my initial dissertation on all this, why do we cheat? So, and I put a lot of thought into this, done a little bit of research on it over the years. You know, I mean, I'm the senior cat of everybody here. And yes, you know, I have stepped out myself. So my history, you know, David, you talked about, you know, a revenge factor. The first time I did it, I didn't lose my virginity until I was 22 years old.
Damn.
Yeah, it was a long time coming. It wasn't something I was really proud about. You know, it's not something you run to your boys when you're 19 and 20 and say, hey, man, you know, I ain't, you know, that's not the thing you want to bring up when you're sitting around at the bar. So I hit it as much as possible, and this lady I've met, she was 12 years older than me, and she was the one that introduced it to me. You know, we were doing all the kissing and hugging, and she's like, no, this is a grown-up relationship, so this is how this goes. So she kind of, you know, broke me off in a sense, and I got, you know, I didn't like it at first. I'll admit, I did not like sex at all. Felt bad the first time I did it. Felt horrible.
Wow.
Went home, washed up, tried to wash it off, and it didn't work. I just felt horrible. My mom had just recently passed, so, I mean, you know, it was a really tough time, you know. And then, but, you know, the first time you do that, 9 times out of 10, you're going to fall in love. I did. Moved in with her. And this is going back and forth about 6-7 months, and I'm going from hating sex to getting used to it. Now I'm starting to like a little bit. You know, a few months later, I'm starting to learn. I know what I'm doing now. And I'm realizing, hey, this is kind of cool. And after about nine months, I'm at the point where I'm the one saying, hey, you know, why don't we go upstairs or whatever. As soon as I got to where I liked this, that's when she started backing off. And she started going out with her girlfriends and going out playing cards and coming home at 1-2 in the morning. Then the argument started.
Uh-oh.
And then all of a sudden, it was from that 9-month period to the 10th month that she's like, you too young. I need me an older man. You got to go. So,
wow.
Of course, I'm busted up. My virginity is gone. I'm completely clueless. It took me 7 months to get over that. The very next girl, I moved in with one of my boys. The very next girl I dated left me for the dude I moved in with. She came by, was at the house, and they were together. Now, they weren't physically together, but they announced that they were going to start seeing each other. So these are my first two physical relationships. So later, when I had a bad relationship, the first thing I thought about doing was I ain't going to be faithful to nobody. I ain't never going to go through. Because I doggone near went through a suicide bout on that first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then barely recovered the second one. Now, I'm not saying it all to say, hey, these are good reasons. But a lot of times we know that society will label a man a dog the second he cheats. And the difference is that a lot of times when a woman cheats, she'll say, well, I was hurt, I felt lonely, I was abandoned, and so forth. I'm not saying those things aren't real, because they are, and they're valid.
Right.
But
right.
It's a lot easier to accept that a man is just bad by nature. Dio and I were talking about this before, is that you hear a lot of times people say the phrase, when somebody shows you who you are, believe them. That phrase is perfect if the person does something wrong. But when you first meet a woman, if you are flowers and candy and all that, that show you who they are, that goes out the window. Like, yeah, whatever. You get met with a raised eyebrow. And then when you mess up, that's when they think that's who they really, really are. Now, again, women absolutely have a leg to stand on. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is there's always that aspect first of the fact that when you're dealing with somebody who cheats, there's a little bit more to look at than just, okay, this is what they did. We got to start looking at who they are. And we're gonna cover that a little bit more later too. But I wanted to make sure I got that out. And
yeah,
I know.
Well, bro,
we got an email in here. Somebody, do you see that email up there? Or Dave, do you see that email down there?
I don't see it, B. Hold on. Let me get back on the actual chat. Go ahead and read it off for us, Broski.
Okay.
D, go ahead and read it.
Okay, so this is from Dr. M. Uganye. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. If I'm not, I apologize. He's from the Ivory Coast. He's a non-member. And he says, a psychological profile has been done on the male mind and that many of the male species have a more difficult time with the concept of one woman for one man. This correlates with the man upbringing, environment, and religion. Early day scholars believe that in the Old Testament, this was practiced primarily because it was seen as something extremely acceptable and almost necessary for a man to have his desires and appetites met by several women. Therefore, it was set into what was modern society. Of course, now monogamy is seen as a much more civilized form of relationship affairs.
Man. Okay.
Wow. Well, there's a lot to unpack there. I think that he's right. Number one, if you look at the biblical patriarchs, and I did mention this before, from Solomon on down, almost all of them had multiple wives. It's just what it is.
Yep.
You know, in India, you had the courtesan system who would show the man the art of lovemaking before he even got married, right? And so I think that we understand that the way nature set up is not fair. I repeat, the way nature is set up is not fair. One sex does have certain advantages over the other when it comes to their ability to procreate. And the fact is that in war, in times of famine, when men's population would be depleted, the nation's only shot at recovery was a man having multiple women. And so whatever gene that is got passed on to all of us. Now, we're not trying to make a biological excuse here because on the other side of it is principle. On the other side of it is integrity and discipline and self-control, mastery, and things of that nature. And so what I want to do is just say I appreciate what the brother said. He is correct. Back in the Bible, monogamy, like I said, was for women. It was actually a control mechanism to make sure that a woman's womb was monocultured with one man's seed. You see what I'm saying? And so that was a way of inheritance, because if you have property and you can pass that property on, then you want to make sure you pass them to the right kid. Prior to that, and see, people don't understand it. See, prior to that, and this is a great book called Sex at Dawn. I repeat, a book called Sex at Dawn by Dr. Christopher Ryan. And it talks about our time before. And for most of human history, we were hunter-gatherers. How long were we hunter-gatherers? There are still hunter-gatherers in the Amazon, Africa, parts of the Philippines, and Southern Asia, right? You can still find these tribes. This is our natural state. And what it was back in these times was it was a and people almost can't even imagine this, a female-dominated society. Can you imagine that? A female-dominated society is how we were for most of our history. And it wasn't the reverse of male domination where women had their high heels on the boots on the necks of men. That wasn't how it was. It was just that women were looked at as a higher value because of the difficulty of labor. That's what it was. And if you ever watch a woman give birth and you agree with that perspective, because I could bench 300 pounds. I can't give birth to no baby. I'll tell you that right now, right? But also, right, this is fact. If you ever see a woman give birth, you know, that is some gangster shit. Like, that's gangster. Mm-hmm. You can't touch that, right? But so women had the final say also because they were the gateway to life, right? But with that came the fact that these women had absolute run of the house when it came to sexual selection. Absolute run of the house, which meant it was stupid to try to track the lineage through the father. It was only through the mother. But also what came with that was there was no rape culture. Sex was not at an artificial premium to create an artificially scarce, and therefore women would have sex with who they wanted. And even it was in the Amazon, one of the marriage vows in the tribe is don't be jealous of each other's lovers. and marriages last for about 7 years until the child is old enough to contribute to society. So this is how these things have been done in different ways all throughout time. We're trying to adapt this body that's been living with absolute sexual freedom for the last 190,000 years. For something that's been only existence in the last 10,000 years, which is the ability to stay in one place and pass down property, which was the beginning of patriarchy. So it's a really interesting thing. That's the history of it. All of that to say, if you make a commitment to someone, then that commitment you will be held accountable for. You see what I'm saying? All that to say, right? Monogamy may not be natural, but hell, neither is playing Bach 7th concerto or doing a floor routine of gymnastics. You see what I mean? Like, that's not natural either. It takes practice. So right. You will be held accountable, but these are the forces that are driving us, and until we understand that, we don't know how to set the rules up.
Amen. Hey, so we knew this subject would be hot. We got a ton of callers. We got some emails. We got to pay some bills on, too. So we'll be back in a second, and we'll start getting to y'all. So hang on. Again, if you're listening to the link, if you want to call, 516-387-1381. We will be back in just a minute.
At Montana's, we're living the best life. Celebrate 25 years of Montana's and enjoy new and old favorites like all-you-can-eat ribs and new Canadian beef brisket. Escape to Montana's today.
I think the biggest myth, the biggest falsehood about motherhood after you have a baby is the postpartum piece. Nobody talks about it.
When this baby came around, I was hit by a buzz.
I noticed I was really irritable. I felt down. I was angry. I would lash out. There were a few nights where I really didn't have a wink.
It affected my relationship with my kids. It affected my relationship with my spouse. And it affected the way I interacted with my parents because I didn't want them to see what was happening.
Talking about postpartum depression, postpartum psychosis, any perinatal mental illness is extremely, extremely important.
I think it's more common than we think it is, for sure.
Do not be fooled to think that it's just an individualized issue. It affects the entire family.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Motel 6's new improved website lets you book a room and save more for what you travel for faster than ever. Even faster than you can find your keys, which you swore were right on the little hooky thing by the garage door where they always are, and we can land a robot on a comet, but we can't keep keys from disappearing. Oh, here they are. Left them in my jacket. Don't you hate that? I'm Tom Baudet for the new improved Motel6.com, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Escape to Sybaris, a private paradise voted the best romantic getaway in the United States.
Visit us online at Sybaris.com, that's Sybaris.com, to receive a free brochure and special discount for your next romantic getaway.
All right, we bet. Thank you very, very, very much. All right, so we knew this topic, like I said, was going to be deep. And so we got a lot of callers. We got a lot of emails here. So we're going to start going through some of those. Now, right. The numbers we got here, I'm going to read off the last four. If you have a question, just go ahead and speak up there. The first caller we have here, the last four, your number is 8124. If the last four of your number is 8124, you are live on Midwest Mocha Singles Podcast. Go ahead. Call, you there? Call, you there? All right, moving on. The next one we got, the last four-year number are 6201. Caller, the last four-year number is 6201.
Almost to the fucking day.
I don't think they were ready.
I don't think
for
they know they're on. Yeah, I don't think they were ready.
No, that wasn't ready here. Okay. Let's see. We got a couple more here. What else we got in here? Let's see here. And by the way, the ladies, if y'all know Madam Secretary and Ms. Parker, do not tell them we are in the studio. Now, we told them that the studio was closed. They asked, like, why the studio closed? Because of COVID. Because of COVID. Closed because of COVID. Right. And so they're like, oh, well, what's up? It's just COVID. So they don't know we're here. So don't tell them. So when if they come in and the studio is jacked up, it's COVID's fault. It's not our fault. We ain't got nothing to do with that. It's COVID, right? Right, y'all? Back me up.
That's
right.
You speak the truth, Brian.
It is COVID. I mean, COVID is going on, so I can't deny that. Okay, so we had a handful of calls. We're going to get to some of the emails we got here. So we had one that was in the chat, and I'm going to go back to it now. It was a chat that was addressed to a married member. And I'm going to grab it here. There, so Theo, I'm going to let you take a look at this one here. If you look down the chat, it's there. I'm gonna read it off. This is from Sharon. She's from the Midwest Mocha Group, and she said, "Men, if you're married and decide to cheat, is it because you feel your wife is lacking on something, or you feel she is not supportive enough? Which one?"
Well, that is a great question, and is honestly as nuanced as the individual man. There are so many reasons for it. You know, sometimes people feel like their needs are not getting met at home. Men have this kind of thing about variety that is not an excuse, but it's something that plagues us. It's something that always pulls at us. The old heads say, you know what I'm saying, the only thing better than coochie is new coochie, right? That's what the old heads used to say. And so it's just, I believe that you would really have to ask each individual man, but what I feel is most important is that monogamy has to be practiced like anything. I believe that, you know, just like many things, it may be unnatural, but you can get good at it, and you got to constantly be on it. Number one, you got to know where you're weak at it, right? So, for example, I'm married. When I was getting with my wife, even though there was no official commitment, long before there was an official commitment to my current, I mean, listen, I was already turning girls away. I was already making space. I didn't want anybody else's energy interrupting what I was building with her, even before she was officially my girlfriend, not even my wife, right? Because I knew I had to practice it because, hey, I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't good at it, okay? I wasn't good at it. I remember getting the practice in my head of being faithful. Felt like I was growing a third lobe of my brain. Like it was so challenging to me. And the issue is it didn't used to be, right? You see, I was born loyal. See, this is the thing. I had cheated before, but I was born loyal. I was in college, I remember, and I was so loyal to my girlfriend, and this is a true story. I would not cheat in my dreams because I literally didn't know I was sleeping. That's how loyal I was. And my wife is the only woman who, right, because I literally, I would turn to another woman, and my wife is the only other woman that I have done that with since, where I turned down sex with another woman because it was, I didn't know I was sleeping, and it was only a dream, okay? So, but what ended up happening was when I was like 32, bro, I was introduced to infidelity by a married woman, woman, you know what I'm saying? Because up to that, and you know, I'm still in my 30s. So, and this happened in my 30s, but I remember it was like my badge of honor. Like I never cheat. Feel me? Like that was my thing. girls had cheated on me. I got cheated on with by a little girl who had sex with another girl at her job, right? But I never cheated, right? Mm. And until this married woman, now I'm talking about, she was encapsulated and everything I would call fine. She was fine. The only thing not attractive about her was that ring on her finger, right? She pursued me for three months, man. And it's like, ladies, I want you to imagine you trying to do right, but Idris Elba is on you even though you know he's married. How much time before you break, you understand? Who's that boy from Bridgerton that all these girls like, you feel me? What if he was on you? And how much time before you break, right? So about 3 months in, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, look here. Why am I fighting harder for her marriage than she is? You know what I'm saying? I was like, she going to give this thing to somebody. She might as well give it to me, all right? So, you know what I'm saying? It went down, bro. It went down. And I felt so guilty afterwards. I was like, man, this is going to be crazy. And I expected her marriage to be over, bro, right? I expected that within a few months' time, I'm going to see a Facebook post and they headed for divorce. I'm so sorry, y'all. Sometimes it never happened. It never happened. They're still married today. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, so this is how it is. So this is how it is. So, because, you know, even though I have been loyal all my life, I'm still a man. You know what I'm saying? It still took some effort to resist temptation. But I thought, well, shoot, if she could cheat, any of them can, man. Ain't no loyalty out here. You understand me? And I relaxed on my loyalty with my next few girlfriends, man. I was just like, man, look at her. Look at here. Because I was always afraid of losing her. See, that's, I didn't realize the reason I didn't cheat is because I was always afraid that it would cause some kind of butterfly effect, or God would curse me or something, and then I would lose my wife, right? But listen, I was loyal. All fell apart. Loyal, she cheated. Loyal, no ring, right? So I said to myself, but let me go ahead and relax this thing here. And I just chilled. It was until in 2017, it all fell apart with a woman where I cheated on a girl who was absolutely innocent. And I realized that I had one more thing to do, and that is build my own integrity back. And it was very, very devastating. I don't like hurting people, and I hurt an innocent woman. And that's the thing that got me back on track. You understand what I'm saying? Because I didn't want to see her cry ever. And so me being able to hurt somebody, so let me reexamine my ethics. And it's not even about whether it's cheating is normal, whether it's not, you know, natural. It's about what I set out to do and what our agreements are. And that's what got me back on the right track. And I had to repractice monogamy, and now I'm married.
Man, I know, can definitely piggyback off that to a degree. You know, I talked earlier, you know, Dave and I both kind of had that revenge mindset type deal. So to me, and this is what I really wanted to kind of get into, and it's not going to be that long, but it's kind of short and sweet. When we think about somebody as a cheater, whether it's a male or female, and I can speak more to the male species because that's what I am, we have a tendency to respect maybe the mate, but not necessarily the relationship. And I'm going to say what that is.
Mm-hmm.
A relationship involves honesty, truth, and involves commitment and so forth. So what many men will do, make this mistake, men will be with a woman, a good girl, does all that, but maybe there's some arguing or bickering or whatever happening at home. So they get frustrated. They meet girl number two or girl B. She's not giving them that same trouble they get at home. So they step out, right? They step out because they're thinking, well, you know what? Maybe the girl I'm arguing with, my main girl, she's nagging me, whatever, but I'm paying my bills. I'm keeping the roof over her head. I buy her birthday presents, and as long as she don't say nothing, this is all cool. The male mind truly believes that this is okay. He says, okay, well, as long as I'm not messing nothing up, you know, and I'm not leaving you, I'm still taking care of you, so technically I'm not really cheating, I'm just kind of doing a little side thing. And the cheating mind really honestly believes this no differently than when an alcoholic thinks one more drink ain't going to kill me, or an addict thinks one more shot in my arm ain't going to do nothing, I just need this to get through the day. So if you have a mentality like this, when you identify this, whether if you are the cheater, if you're out there right now and you're listening, you are a cheater. Again, I'm not a licensed therapist. I can tell you from personal experience, the first thing you have to do is understand that this is a problem, okay? You're not just a bad dude. You have a problem. If you really think that this is okay, if you really think that stepping on your girl or whatever is truly okay, and that's not going to bother her, it's not going to devastate her and change her life, you need to, number one, like an alcoholic or an addict, admit you have an issue and seek some help. It's not as simple as some people just think, hey, don't cheat. Because you wouldn't just tell an alcoholic, look, don't drink.
It isn't that simple, yeah.
You wouldn't tell a smoker, look, don't smoke up a cigarette. You know this. It can be a chemical or a psychological imbalance. And so I'm saying this, I'm pleading with you from personal experience. If this is something you have gone through, please stop. Don't beat yourself up. Don't let somebody else beat you up. Understand that you have an issue and talk to somebody, a therapist, family, somebody who can talk you through this and be honest with yourself. Say, you know what? I have a problem with being committed to somebody who is committed to me. Because if you've got an agreement that neither one of you committed, that's one thing. But if you have gone into a relationship and said, hey, I'm going to be your guy and that's it, and she is relying on that, you as a male, please don't go in that situation thinking, okay, I just won't let her know. Because that's another thing women have on us is women can tell when something's wrong. You ain't going to say nothing. She can look at you and tell something's wrong. And that's the way, and again, from experience, that is the worst look. In other words, it's like the disappointment from your mom. You know, when you should have did something you should have did. I want you to get some follow up on that, but I want to make sure I got that point out.
Right. For me, it goes back to on the woman, the good woman that you have at home. But yet, for some reason, you know, some men still think they need to, you know, step out. Again, it's the ego thing. You're going to think, okay, that good woman that's at home is always going to be there no matter what, you know, again, but you're not going to tell them that you're cheating. You just, you know, you're going to try to be, you know, the person that she wants you to be and vice versa. But then on the same token, you still have that woman on the side. But see where we mess up at is when we think that we can get away with something, we slip up somehow, or she'll pick up. A good woman will pick up on it, and she'll know something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, when I tell you that, when that woman's intuition kicks in, they are 99% correct. They know something's up.
Yep.
It's some magical thing that they have amongst themselves, but I would not knock it. Eventually, it will come back to bite us because we slip
always.
Up. Always slip up. There's always something. I mean, we think we're good, but we're not as good as we think we are. Trust me on that one. So it's you know, our ego allows us to do things to a certain degree, but then again, that ego is also going to kill us because we're sloppy when it comes to that. We get too confident in ourselves. And it gets messy, especially now that we have, you know, the technology that we have. You know, look at Derek Jackson with all those screenshots that was back and forth and stuff. You know, it's just stuff that's not as easy anymore. So you really got to be, if you're gonna cheat, you know, that's on you, you know. But you got to be careful with that because eventually you're going to get found out.
Right. And we had a question that we had to answer from group. This is from a member of Misha Ellie, and she says, why did you decide to cheat instead of just leaving her? It would have still hurt her. Star would not run as deep. We're going to get to that, but actually we do have a caller in here. The caller, we'll get to the caller first. Caller, the last number, last four of your number are 0004. Caller, are you out there? 0004, go ahead.
Yes, I most certainly am. This is Ms. Parker.
Oh, no.
First of all, I'm calling in because I heard what you said earlier about...
It's the wrong number, ma'am. You have the wrong number.
Uh-huh, yeah. Just wanted you to know, I heard exactly what you said. Mia is right here with me. we heard what you said about closing the studio. We know the studio's not closed. We know you guys are in there, and you better not be messing it up. That's the first thing. But then secondly, I wanted to comment just on the topic. You guys, first of all, are killing the show tonight. I am so proud of you guys. And this topic is amazing. And we've got three wonderful guys in there who are shedding some light to the ladies and dropping some knowledge to the ladies. So ladies, listen up. But my comment is that cheating is a choice. I understand when you said that there's a chemical makeup and that in the Bible there were several men who had several wives and all of those things. And even some men are raised to cheat because that's, you know, what daddy did and that's what granddaddy did before him. But cheating is a choice. When you get to a certain age, even the Bible says that you come to the age of accountability. And so with that being said, life is comprised of a series of choices. If you choose to cheat, you choose to be monogamous, you choose to practice that monogamy and to stay faithful to one woman. So do women. Women have opportunity every single day. Did I say that loud enough for the people in the back? Every single day we have opportunity to cheat, but we make choices not to. And so I feel like, again, yes, you have to practice monogamy. Men have to practice monogamy, where women, we're innately tuned in to and wanting to be monogamous with one person, taught to be monogamous with one person. Men aren't taught that way. And so when you get to a certain age, you have to decide whether you're going to be a man of integrity and make the right choice or you're not. So I think it's not only, and there are those men out there who have issues, Brian, I agree with you totally. And if you do have that issue, please do get some help. But the majority of them choose to cheat. It's a choice. It is not a mistake. I hate it when people say, oh, I made a mistake. You didn't make a mistake. You made a choice. So stop using that phrase, I made a mistake and forgive me. We can choose to forgive you at that point, but it is definitely a choice. And that's all I have to say. Clean up after yourself tonight because we'll be back in the studio next week.
We love you, Ms.
Love
Parker.
You guys.
We love you. Okay.
Love you too, Ms. Parker. We the cleaning crew, we didn't tell them to take the night off, so they're going to be back in here doing their thing. What they find ain't our fault. That's all I'm saying. So, getting on that, I mean, Theo, what's your thoughts on Ms. Parker's comments about, the choice and so forth?
I would say that choices are only powerful if they are acting against oppression. You see what I'm saying? Just like strength is only developed by acting against resistance. And so, there's people who say, you are strong. Why are you strong? Because of the pressure, right? And some people are born stronger than others. It just is what it is, right? And so what happens is I think that when you get into absolutes, you run into a very interesting challenge. And I think it's the same challenge that Derrick Jackson ran into, right? Because Derrick Jackson spoke in absolutes. Absolutes. It's a choice, it's wrong, it's this, it's that, it's black and white. And when the shoe finally lands, that's correct. But in that energy, there's no compassion for the pressure. And you need that. And the reason why you need that is because your own humanity demands that. Because here's what goes on, right? So the Bible does say, you reap what you sow, and you do, which is why I went into the habit of cultivating the habit of monogamy. You know what I'm saying? Like anything, but I'm also a musician. I'm also a martial artist. And so I know that I can get good at things that I wasn't good at before. Okay. But what I find so interesting is that there's no compassion in female culture about the physiological pressures that men are under just by who we are. Until I heard one woman. Now, I don't know, I forgot this sister's name, right? She's a black woman, right? And she was getting up in age. She was like in her late 40s. And what she had to do was, whatever was wrong with her, she needed to take testosterone supplementation. Now, y'all listen to me, right? She had to take testosterone supplementation because whatever was wrong with her, she needed that to rebalance what was going on. She said that she took into her blood about 1/30th about what the average man has. It was just enough to get her back on track, but she said she never felt sex drive like that in her whole life. right? She's a good Christian, loyal, normal woman. She don't have no, she got a whole coaching, you know what I'm saying, business. She helps people for a living. She said she never felt nothing like that. She said she never felt nothing like that, right? And then she had compassion. Then she had some kind of empathy because she was like, this is only a 30th of what's in their bodies. I was about to risk it all. She said, I've seen some people, I was about to risk it all, right? And so what I want to say is that what Sister said is ultimately correct. When the shoe finally lands, when the deed finally is done, she's right. She's right. It's a choice, which is why I emphasize the fact that you have to practice monogamy if you're not good at it, and you will be held accountable to your integrity. The issue is that when people slip, and they do, brother, and they do, the divorce court is filled with them, the paternity test people are filled with them, Mari Povich is filled with them, people slip on both sides of the sex aisle. And when they do, the consequences that we've assigned to that slippage is what I believe is in question, because lives are being broken by an act that in and of itself didn't cost nobody nothing but a little bit of sweat. Why is that, right? The act that really didn't hurt anybody. You know, I always think about this, right? We got a culture that puts two men fighting, knocking each other unconscious. That's normal to see, but two people making love, you can't see that. Not the real thing. You got to go to the internet for that, right? Right. Why is that? We have a series of agreements that need to be questioned, right? Because she's saying, in principle, it's correct. When the shoe finally lands, something happens. But if you don't look at the pressure, if you don't look at the trauma, if you don't look at what built up to that, we're not saying make excuses. What we're saying is look at the cause and effect, because that will better uproot the pressure that people are under. When the sister drug me in to her infidelity, right, I judged her when my own situation fell apart. I said, Heifer, had you not done that, you would not have set me on a path to destroy my life and to hurt an innocent woman. You set me on a path, right? Then I found out about the rest of her life. It doesn't excuse it. God's going to hold her accountable, but I understand. And that's what we're asking for, because the destruction in the wake of infidelity, I believe, outweighs the act in and of itself, especially if it was both consensual to adults, nobody got hurt. Understand me.
Right. So, very interesting topic that we're continuing on, but we have to pay some bills really quickly. So we will be back in a minute or two. Thank you.
Right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, hey, Miller Lite. It, and that is what we say in Texas. When we ask for a cerveza, we want to start a fiesta. The beer is Miller Lite.
Like is it today?
See, the great Miller taste keeps you ahead of it all. Miller Lite, Miller Lite, that's what we say in Texas. Miller Lite, Miller Lite, it's it, and that.
Beat Yourself Up Hotline.
Is this the Beat Yourself Up Hotline?
Yes, sir. If you'd like to beat yourself up, this is the place to do it.
Okay, I'd like to beat myself up now, please.
Go right ahead when you're comfortable.
I am so stupid. I can't believe how stupid I am. What an idiot. I left all my holiday shipping until the last minute again. Now it's a huge hassle. Why do I have to do this to myself every year? When, oh, when will I learn?
You beat yourself up very well, sir.
Thanks.
But maybe you should just log on to SmartShip.com.
SmartShip.com?
Right. Type in your zip code, and SmartShip.com tells you the fastest, easiest, most affordable way to do your holiday shipping, even at the last minute.
Wow, SmartShip.com.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I think of that?
Well...
Why do I have to have somebody else tell me what to do?
Oh, sir...
When, oh, when will I ever have an original thought?
You're really good at this, sir.
I've been told it's a gift.
SmartShip.com, the way smart shipping is done.
If the black dog of depression makes you feel like the saddest soul on earth, you're not alone. Around 350 million people share this debilitating but treatable condition. If you're worried about someone, ask if they're okay. If you're not doing so well yourself, ask for help. There is no shame in doing so. The only shame is missing out on life. So get help, be helped, and always hold on to hope.
Well, all right. Welcome back. Welcome back to tonight's podcast. This is, again, Boys Night Out. Have some interesting conversation going on. Just great to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's definitely a worthwhile conversation, man. Like, yeah. What's up, brother?
We lost Boom. His yeah. Boom, you still there? Theo, can you hear me?
I'm here. Yeah.
Okay. We lost Boom. He'll be back. He got disconnected. He'll be back in a second. When he comes back, I want to get his take on this, but we had so many emails come in on the subject, and we were going to try to get to three different topics. It just was that deep that let's see, I can hear you. Okay, so we're getting messages. They can hear us. Yeah, Boom's mic did drop. I think here he is.
Okay.
He's back now. Let me put him back in.
Boom,
you back with us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Boom, if you want to take that next chat that we had in there.
Okay. I don't get why. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from Ramona Robinson. She's a member of our group. And she says, I don't get why men cheat and then realize their significant other is someone they don't want to lose. I get not being happy. I get you're just a slick dude, but when you say you love her, let's see here. Well,
is your question basically why do you cheat when you love her? Is that basically the question?
She's asking Boom, why do you cheat on your significant other if you don't want to lose them? What do you say, Boom?
Oh, gotcha.
Well, it's a case of necessity. You may love her, but you may need her more than you love her, if that makes sense.
Break that down.
You know, we would be lost. I know it sounds crazy.
No, you're right.
You know, that's the truth. It's we need them more than we love them, to a degree. Mm. That's a weird twist on it, but you know, we don't want to lose the good thing that we got going for us. You know, even though we're doing wrong, and again, the ego plays a big part in that. You know. So that's my take on that question. I hope that kind of clears it up a little bit for you, Ramona.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think, I think that's super hard.
What do you think, Theo?
I was about to say what's love got to do with it, you know what I'm saying? That's a song my mama used to listen to around the house, you know, but they're two different. They're fundamentally two different things. And I think that I've never heard it expressed like that, but, you know, I used to hear an old blues song called It's Cheaper to Keep Her. You understand me? And what it is uprooting one's whole life, you know, like literally, so I'm a get this side coochie, so I got to unsign the mortgage now, I got to break the lease now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to find a new place to live now? Or can I just go over here real fast? I'll be back in an hour. Right? Right? So I think that people make those decisions and they weigh. And I'm talking about men and women. Women cheat on men that they love, yo. You know, because it'd be two different things. And one of them is unfulfilled, right? I know a sister who is in the church. And she married a dude because that's what the pastor said, and it was almost like an arranged marriage, but she grew to love him in time, but he was sexually inexperienced, she was sexually experienced, and though she loved him, there was skills that the brother just didn't have and didn't have the wherewithal to pick up, and this need grew. He'd never given her an orgasm, you know, And the dude from the past, you know, because women's orgasms are not as guaranteed as men. That's how nature's set up. That's just nature stuff ain't fair, man. It really ain't fair. But what happens, so this woman, now this is a woman, right, did everything that God told her to do. Brother just was inexperienced, man. He just didn't know what he was doing because he had never get on track. He was a nerdy kind of cat, you know. And he couldn't make her come, so she went to a dude who did. A dude from her past who knew exactly what the hell he was doing. And it's just love had nothing to do with it. You see what I'm saying? So I think that one of the key things I learned from listening to Anthony Robbins, because I've listened to my motivationals. If I'm going to motivate, I got to listen to it. He said people sacrifice their values to get their needs met. People sacrifice their values to get their needs met. They're in two different parts of the brain, y'all. The value part is in your prefrontal cortex where you learn how to drive cars and tie your shoes and look both ways before you cross the street. That's a different part of the brain. The other part of your brain be the survival, fight, flight, feed, and we're going to call that other F, fornicate, shall we say, right? It's survival. It's reproductive, right? So if you're making all your decisions denigrating the part of your brain, the part of your being that has needs, and you say, that's just the flesh. I've seen the church set so many people up for disaster, baby. You have no idea. I've seen the church set people up for disaster. I made a commitment to myself that no matter who I end up with, I'm going to be somebody who sexually pleases my mate. I'm going to do that. That's a priority. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you don't do that, the need goes unmet, though they love you. Though they love you. You see what I'm saying? I saw a woman do that in a church setting. So this is what happens. People sacrifice their values to get their needs met. You have to get your needs met. And people need to respect their needs enough to understand them and put them on the forefront when they're negotiating the boundaries with their mates.
Yeah. I think that rounds it out. I was thinking about, you know, what you were saying before about, I want to make sure I get it right. You said, place it again when you talked about the love and the need. Say that again.
I forgot what I said. No, I'm kidding. Okay, I'm going to break it down a little bit more for you. You may love your you love your significant other. You know, that's a given. But you also need her more than you love her. Because the side chick, she's not going to do the things that your main woman's going to do for you. You already know that. If you were to leave your significant other for the side chick, she's not going to do the same thing. You know what I mean? They're not the same people. So that's what I mean by he needs his other, the stuff he needs to be met by his significant other, just the sexual part or whatnot would have to be met by the side chick. So he just needs the significant other for certain things, but, you know, that's what I mean by needing them more than loving them.
And I know a lot. Yeah, I agree. And I know a lot of times, you know, we'll talk about how you spot a love. And we talked about Derek Jackson, which always gets me because he was given the advice, which some people are saying, well, his advice was good. He just didn't follow it. I'm like, you realize if you had followed his advice, you'd ended up with a dude just like him. So if you think that's good, I think one of the biggest issues we run into when we talk about infidelity is not just the act itself, but trying to identify any signs that might be there before it gets there. And that's going to be eternal question. And I would absolutely love to tackle that. But guess what? Every single time, it sneaks up on us like a cat in the night. We out of time. And I hate being out of time because we could have went on at least another probably half a day with this here.
Right.
It's
a big subject.
Yeah, because it is. And so for those of you who are listening through Blog Talk, If you're single, please join the Facebook Midwest Mocha Singles or any one of the Mocha Singles groups. There's 8 of them. Just search Mocha Singles. Find the area that you're comfortable with, that you want to settle down in. We have now we have an Instagram page because Madam Secretary has created a Instagram for Midwest Mocha Singles. I believe it's called Official Mocha Singles. The studio doesn't look that bad. There's some stains on the wall. I don't know what that is right there, Boom.
I'm not even gonna worry about it. Just put that plant in front of it. They won't know nothing.
Yeah, let me just put it over here. Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But so I think, I mean, matter of fact, the ladies like clean. I believe they enjoy cleaning something up. It makes them feel like we really do, which we do need them. So this proves how much we need them to make sure that we don't just trash the place all the time. So that's kind of a good thing. I believe in down in at the end of the day. We're gonna go ahead and start with our closeout. Say when?
Yeah, you know, you see how that correlated with the kneading stuff. You know, that's. Bam, you just hit it, the nail on the head with that.
I mean, that's it. We provide some good old fashioned information, and they go ahead and keep the place straight, so we can keep the lease, so we don't get kicked out. But
right.
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and start, Theo, if you want to go ahead and just start closing out, you know, we'll just end up saying goodbye to our fantastic crew and a fantastic audience tonight.
Yeah, man. I appreciate y'all tuning in and listening to us. Make sure that y'all understand your needs, understand that you will be held accountable to your integrity, and to have compassion for yourself and others, because we're building a new paradigm.
Amen. Boom. What you got?
Just want to say thank you for all the listeners, all the callers that, you know, to try to get through. We appreciate the love. We appreciate everything. Enjoyed the show tonight. And always remember, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. Hey, thank you for everybody's listening. We had a ton of emails and calls. I know we didn't get to them all. We're going to try to still answer them inside the group. We had planned on it, but like usual, the show was bigger than even us. Thank you for our special guest, Theo. Of course, my right-hand Boom. The ladies will be back 2 weeks from now to fix this beautiful studio. We left it in such a beautiful condition. So they won't have nothing to worry about. We'll see you with Midwest Mocha Singles in the group. Have a great night. Thanks for joining us.
I'll be back.